Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, welcome you here to Thomas Village Baptist Church. Welcome everyone joining us on social media. It's a blessed day in the Lord. Great day to be here. Just in the way of announcements, a few things. We got our regular scheduled business meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. here at the church. Also, out in the foyer, we still have our sign-up sheets for our various committees and our ministries here at the church. We'll be starting a new church year here come September next month. So, you know, if you have any calling by any chance on how you can potentially serve the Lord, go out there and just look at the various committees and ministries and see what the Lord has planned for you. He'll put you to work. We can put you to work, as certainly. And then just one last thing, looking a little further down the road to September 25th, that's next month, September 25th, it's the lunch in the park, and there's already a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. The church will be providing the main dish or the entrees, but there is a sign-up sheet for the side dishes and desserts. So just to make you aware of that. So again, sign-up sheet out in the foyer for the lunch in the park. In the way of all the other announcements, just take a look at your church bulletin, as always, and on the back. Are there any specific prayer requests or praise reports that anyone would like to lift up to the Lord here this morning?
I want to praise the Lord for last night. Had a good time. Yeah. Thankful for everybody to be here.
I believe I heard it said we had 7 kids that signed up for Awana, yesterday evening. 7 new kids that hadn't previously been 2-1, is that right, Brother Wayne? So, great, praise the Lord.
I praise the Lord for that. We planted seeds this summer over in the village.
Right.
And those kids that we registered last night, they came over from the village to see us last night as a result of that ministry.
Yes.
I'm thankful for that.
Yes, the backyard Bible study, that was certainly a great work done this past summer. Certainly was. Praise God for that. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer and we'll get off with our worship service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for a blessed time, Lord. Lord, just for the privilege to be together, Father, Lord, just to come to you in corporate worship. Lord, and Lord, I just want to lift up, Lord, our church, Thomas Village Baptist Church, Lord, as we get ready to kick off a new church year. Lord, you have, I believe you just have many, many great things, Lord. I believe our best days are yet to come, Father, Lord, as a church body. Lord, we just put our faith and our trust in you in all things. Lord, be with us here this morning. Let your Holy Spirit just thrive here amongst us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to have everybody stand. We're going to sing the first two songs together. So if y'all will stand with me and grab your hymnals, we're going to do number 379, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Thank you.
still standing, turn over to 138 at Calvary.
Thank you. Good morning, y'all.
Say it again. That one wasn't enthusiastic, is it? Good morning, y'all. All right, that's better. It was like with the singing. The more we sang, the better it sounded. And it's good to see all of you today. This morning we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. And it, again, just I want to say I'm thankful for everyone that come and labored last night. And nothing else, we were able to pray with some folks we've never prayed with before. And we were able to pray blessings over them in Jesus' name. And so as you're turning to John chapter 11, I'll tell all of you it's good to see you. I'm thankful you came out today, whether you're watching by Facebook or listening on the radio. It's good to have you. And I believe that God has a blessing for you today. If you're willing to receive a blessing, He's ready to extend the blessing. And in case you don't know, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning as we look at the seventh sign in the book of John. Now, we know that there's more than that, but today we're going to be looking at John chapter 11 and the resurrection of Lazarus. So, before we go any further, do we have any words of praise this morning?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Anyone else? I think I heard that there were 17 in ICU or critical condition with COVID this week, and seven of them were ended up passing on. Thank God I'm alive today. He's got a purpose and a plan. He's woke me up, and praise God for that. Is there anyone else that's got a word of praise or testimony this morning? Oh, amen. Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, and let's go over to John chapter 11, verse 41, and I'm just going to read these few verses, and then you can be seated, and I'm going to read through the whole chapter. But if we had a title for today's sermon, it would be sign number 7, the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where they had where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go. And I want to remind you that the altar is always open. And you feel the drawing, you come up here, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I do thank You for this day. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that You are working in my life. You're moving in a way that I can't even fathom. And so, Lord, I just praise You and declare that there is no God like Jehovah. And God, today I ask You to forgive me of my sins and my failures. And Lord, I pray You give me the ability and the words to speak this morning. And I pray that You just let Your Holy Spirit breathe through here. And God, anything that would try to take away from this service, whether it be thoughts of what's going on later, whether it be fear or stress that we've got in our life, anger and resentment over someone or some situation. God, I just pray right now, we bind that in the name of Jesus, and we loose unity, oneness, and God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that You breathe on us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one. This was the longest one of all of the miracles that we've looked at. But John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, meaning Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou love is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. Verse 8, His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if any man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up out of sleep. Then his disciples said, If he sleeps, he is doing well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 4 furlongs, or about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus says unto her, Thy brother shall live again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called for Mary, her sister. Lord, do something about that fly. verse 29, and as soon as she heard that, okay, Jesus sent for Mary, verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. The Jews then went with Mary in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary that was rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep. But then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he asked, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Then Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Then Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes to the Father. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound head to foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things that Jesus did, believed on him, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees, telling them what Jesus had done. And may God add the blessing to the reading of his word. This is probably, and not only out of the seven signs or miracles that we find in the book of John, but of all the miracles that I see in Scripture, this is probably my favorite one to read about. I've read it many times, I've preached on it many times, and there's just something powerful in it. But as we're looking at the signs, we've looked at the water into wine, the healing of the royal man's officer, the royal officer's son, the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes, walking on the water, the healing of the blind last week, and now we're here at the resurrection of Lazarus. And remember, we call these signs because you remember what John said over in the chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written that ye may know that Jesus is Christ, and believing on him, you might have eternal life. All that was done, kind of like in our scripture this morning as we studied over about the gate which was called Beautiful, the miracle that they worked was to show evidence that the faith that they were spreading was real, that it was accurate, that it was not just some false teaching. And in the same manner, as that was a sign when the lame man came up and he was leaping and dancing, and my Sunday school teacher said he might even do cartwheels. I don't know. But it goes back to the same thing, that the signs point to what fact? The fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Just saying that is powerful. Just knowing that He is the one that was promised from God to take away the sins of the world. And hallelujah, today He's ready even today to take away your sins. Hallelujah. But the miracles point to the fact that He is the Messiah. Now I'm going to go back a little bit to last week's sermon because it builds up to where we're at. And last week you remember that Jesus healed the man, the blind man, which was blind from birth. And you remember we finished with the Pharisees coming to him, and they were questioning him. And basically, the blind man said, whether it's right or wrong, he's the one that healed me, and all I can do is speak the truth. And you remember what the Pharisees did. They excommunicated. Basically, they just cast him out. You remember how when Dr. Emmanuel was here talking about one of the Muslims that was in the community that had got saved, and remember they blocked him off from using the well, and he had to build his own well. Well, basically that's what had happened to the blind man. He was cast out, but Jesus received him. But what we see happening is it's coming to a pinnacle. The hatred that the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they have in Christ Jesus. You can go all the way back to chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11. You'll see that they're trying to kill him. So it says that while they were trying to kill him, Jesus moved off and kind of got out of the way. And here in the end of chapter 9, it says Christ and the Pharisees were in a confrontation. And then in the chapter 10, notice that there seems to be no break in the conversation between 9 and 10. He begins by calling the Pharisees robbers and thieves. He wasn't backing down. And that's where we see Jesus declare, I am the door to the sheepfold, and I am the good shepherd. And listen how it ends, John chapter 10, verses 39 and following. Then they were trying again to seize him, yet he eluded their grasp. So he departed again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier. And he remained there, and many came to him and said, John never did a sign, but everything John said about this man was true, and many believed on him there. And so what we see is it's coming to a peak. The Jesus is publicly declaring who he is. He's healing and doing great things. And then we see that it comes here and he's kindly moved out of the way. He's kindly took his disciples, and they're in a place building up and spending time together. And then he gets the word that Lazarus is sick. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is a special relationship. A special relationship. Notice what it says. It says, a certain man, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha and her sister. And notice what it says. When they sent the messenger to Jesus, it doesn't say that Lazarus is sick. What does it say? Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that said, he said that the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. And then if you jump over to John chapter 11, verse 36, again it declares that others that were looking at the relationship between Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha said, behold how he loves him, but he loved the family. Remember, this is the Mary that over in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14 came to Jesus and poured the oil on his feet and then took her hair and wiped it clean. Also over in Luke chapter 10, remember Jesus came to their house one day and Martha was busy being the good host. She was doing everything, but Mary, she came and she sat down at the feet of Jesus and just listened. Remember, Martha got a little upset and said, tell my sister to do something. And Jesus said, she's doing the good thing right now. And so notice this, though. I want you to look at this. Once again, Scripture makes it clear that trials of life and storms and all the things that come against us is not an indication of how much and why God loves us. Look here. Specifically, we're told in this that Jesus loved all three of them. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Hallelujah today. We cannot fathom in our mind how much Jesus loves us. And it takes the person of the Holy Spirit to even let us be open to an inkling of how much Jesus loves us. Notice something else. The trials and the hardships of life are not a punishment from God or a sign that you're doing anything wrong. We live in a world today, and remember, they asked, what did they say about the blind man from birth? Jesus, who did sin? His mother and father, or did him? What did Jesus say? He said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works or the signs of God should be made manifest in him. I said this in a couple of sermons, but I'm going to say it again. Maybe it's just for me. Good or bad, God has a purpose for everything that passes through my life. There is nothing, as a born-again child of God, there is nothing that passes through my life that, one, God does not know about, but two, He has not allowed to come into my life for some reason. Notice, we can say that like Jesus in 11 verse 4, that the Son of God may be glorified. Whatever thing you're in right now, I can tell you two things. One, it's not going to last forever. Sooner or later, the good times will be over, or either the bad times will be over. How many of you can feel fall in the air when you walk out of your door in the morning time? Praise God. That's a reminder of how it is with God. Last week I asked you to say this with me. Say this. Good or bad, God has a purpose for everything in my life. Amen. You believe that? Amen. So we see that there's a special relationship that in no way is it because Jesus doesn't love them that there's death that's come to this family. The next thing we see in the book of John, chapter 11, beginning in verse 6 and 7, we see a specific sickness, we see a specific delay, and both are for a specific purpose. Now, I had to be purposeful in saying that. A specific sickness, a specific delay, for a specific purpose. Verse 6, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, jump down to verse 11. These things Jesus said, and after he said them unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up. Then said his disciples, if he sleeps, then he's doing well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now listen to verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. Why do difficulties and storms come in our life? I remember David Ring, he asked this question, why do bad things happen to good people? Why doesn't God answer your prayer right now? You know what? I can't tell you that. I don't know. You know why I can't tell you that? Because I can't see the big picture. But I can tell you this, as we look here, and this is how we know that God, he does things that are not the way we would do them. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and following, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. Again, I can't tell you why God is doing what he's doing in your life. But when we look at Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we can see some reasons why God is allowing this storm, this death, to come in their life. First, I could preach a whole sermon on this one. First thing, he's building courage in his disciples. He's building courage. Remember when Jesus said, let us go into Judea, what did they say? Hey, hold on just a second, Lord. They've been trying to stone you here lately. Are you sure you want to go in there? And here's the thing, and then we see in verse 16 that after he says, let's go, we've got work to do, doubting Thomas, finally says, boys, let's go with him, that we may die. Jesus is building up courage in their life. You know why? Because harder days are coming. Difficult days are coming. And usually that's the way it is in the trials of life. God brings you through one, and I know it ain't easy to hear, but we go through another one. And praise God, he is building strength in them. Think about it. They're going to be there with him when he gets arrested, when he's tortured and tormented and crucified and resurrected. But you know this? Most of the apostles, all but John, die a very painful death. They die as martyrs for the gospel and for the purpose of the kingdom. So why is God allowing this specific illness, this specific delay, and it's because there is a specific purpose. Something else, notice this. Why is God allowing it? To grow the faith of the apostles and Mary and Martha. I've read this multiple times, use it many times to try and bring peace to families that are grieving. But until this week, I never had paid any attention to verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. I am glad for your sake that I was not there. Wow. He said, listen, I'm glad Mary and Martha are having a hard time. I'm glad that Lazarus has passed away, because I'm fixing to teach you something that you can't learn any other way. Now, you don't hear that preached very much, but God allows things to come into our life for the purpose of His glory in our life, but to affect the people that are around us. Think about it. The man last week, he had been blind from birth, as we study about the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. How many years, how old was he? 30 to 40? All those 30 to 40 years that he had not been able to walk, that he had stood there and he had begged, God had a plan and a purpose with it. Do you ever think he asked God, why can't I walk? What about the blind man? Why can't I see? God is doing something in our life, and He builds our faith through these circumstances. Listen, Romans chapter 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. I'm going to tell you what. It's not easy to say God is good when things are difficult. When you're hurting on the inside. When somebody opens up a wound that has finally been healing over. But God has a plan and a purpose, and we can say, Lord, You're doing this for a reason. I don't know why. I don't understand. If You're trying to teach me something, let's hurry this thing up so I can learn it. Praise God, I didn't have any flat tires this week. Right, Caleb? Hallelujah. We didn't have no flat tires. But God was doing something, and notice Jesus, and that just blows my mind. I am glad for Your sake. Some people would get mad at that, wouldn't they? You're saying you're glad that I'm having to go through this problem. You're saying you're glad I'm facing these difficulties. But when we cannot trust what we see and what we feel, we trust the love. Remember, it's a special relationship. They have a special relationship that nobody else will ever have but them. The next thing, what is God trying to do with this specific sickness and situation? He's trying to teach patience to Mary and Martha. Both Mary in verse 21, Martha in verse 21 and Mary in verse 32 basically say the same thing to the Lord. If You were here, if You'd have answered when I call, my brother would not have died. He wouldn't have passed away. No one, especially in our day and time, wants to wait on anything, do we? I mean, we're instant gratification, buddy. I told Amy after service, after the thing last night, I said, bring me home something to eat. And she said, well, we're at the grocery store getting this. I said, I don't want to wait on nothing have to be cooked. Bring me some ham and cheese Hot Pockets. And so she brought me a ham and cheese Hot Pocket. 2 minutes to cook it, 2 minutes to let it cool down, and I'll be good. 20 minutes later, after eating a bologna sandwich and some third-degree burns in my mouth, that thing finally cooled off enough that I could eat it. That I could eat it. We want it, and we want it now. Amen? But God is doing something. He's teaching us. He's moving. He is making us into His image. He is conforming us to Jesus. Think about it. You look at the awesome sculpture of David. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. All the detail that's in it. But you know, it began as a rough piece of stone, and they had to be big blocks knocked off. And soon it had to be little blocks, and then even smaller blocks. And praise God, that's what He's doing to us. Praise God, whether good or bad, God has a purpose for everything that goes through my life. And then the last thing is this. Why is He having this specific illness in this specific situation? So that those around Lazarus' death would see that He is the Messiah. So those that are around Lazarus' death will see that He's the Messiah. Again, notice in verses 45 and 46, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things that Jesus did, believed on Him, But some of them were tattletales and went and told the Pharisees. What is the purpose of why John wrote this? But these things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in His name. I've said this before, but when God is working in our life, He can't help but bump into those that are around us. He's burdened me when I pray for myself, when I pray for you, I pray for His favor and His blessings on you. One, so it would be, it's awesome when you know that you're in His blessings and His favor. But two, so that His favor and His blessings will touch the others that are around us. Notice number three, it's a special circumstance and a special situation. Notice that the same circumstance and the same situation are experienced different by different people. Notice Martha. When she found out that the Lord was coming, what did she do? She didn't wait for Him to call her. She ran to where He was. And when she got there, she asked Him. She had a conversation with Him. And remember, God, Christ Jesus, made her promises right there. He says, your brother will live again. And she was able to discourse with Him, and there's some exchange there. But let's look at Mary. What did Mary do? She sat in the house, even though she knew that Jesus was coming. And then when she heard that He had called, you can almost see it. All she could do was run to Him, fall on her knees, and say, why didn't you come? And then she just began to weep. Then in her pain, then Mary and Martha, along with the Lord, went to Lazarus' grave, and they were grieved with the Lord. Notice it's probably the second most well-known verse in all of the Bible, in verse 35, and Jesus wept. It says that he groaned in the spirit when he saw her weeping. When they went to the tomb, it says again, he groaned or it was grieved in his spirit. Now there's a lot of theories why he would do that. Number one, Jesus already knew he was going to bring Lazarus from the dead. If you look in verse 4 and verse 11, he says, Lazarus is not going to stay in the tomb. I'm going to bring him out. So I don't think he was grieving over the death of Lazarus. Other people, and you may believe this, other people believe that he was grieved and groaning because he saw a lack of faith that was there. Might have been, but I tell you what I think. Have you ever had somebody you loved that was hurting? And what happens? When they hurt, you hurt. And remember, he loved them. He loved them. And they were weeping and they were crying. And he were feeling their pain. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are and yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Each and every one of us, we have experienced that have left scars on us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We've had experiences of good time that have blessed us in those other ways. But at any time, day and night, whatever I'm going through, I can call on Jesus and I can have a conversation with Him that no one else will ever have. Mary and Martha, Mary had a conversation that Martha would never have. Martha had a conversation that Mary would never have. And hallelujah today, Jesus Christ is close to us and we can call on Him and we can talk to Him and we can have a relationship and a conversation that no one else will ever have. You know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to be, I believe, 100%. One day, it may take a while. I may be at the bottom of the list. But you know what? I think I'm going to get time one-on-one with Jesus. And I'll just be able to talk to Him and He'll know everything that went on. And maybe I'll get lost in His glory. I don't know. But I know that I have a special relationship. And if you're a believer in here today, you've got a special relationship. You've got a special place in His heart. And then the last thing, as we talk about Him being the resurrection and the life, I want you to notice that there's a special call. There's a special call. Look in verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Then Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, that thou should see the glory of God?" Now again, we see something. It's God, Christ Jesus, who's going to perform the miracle. But still, he expects something out of those that are there, out of his people. What did you say? Roll the stone away. Well, it stinks. Roll it away anyway. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is in church life. That's the way it is in our lives as individual Christians. God will speak to us, and we've always got an excuse of why it ain't going to work. You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? Jesus said, "Do you want to be made healed? Do you want to get me whole?" And what did he say? "I ain't got nobody." That wasn't the question that he asked. And praise God, if we are expecting to see miracles, if we're looking to see miracles, you know what? You'll see them. You'll see them because he's working. And he's doing things in our life that I believe we could be open to it and we could see it, but we're just so focused on self, so focused on why me, why is this happening, that we miss out on the great things that God is doing. And then in verse 41 it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that you have heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.' And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound head to foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" I was looking at this and thinking about this. And you know, the old saying was that when Jesus called on Lazarus, he had to call him by name because every one of them would have come out the grave. And you know what, though? That may be, I don't know. But you know what? There's going to be a day that he calls me up out of the grave, and that's my call. You're going to get your call just as I will, but praise God, that's my call. He loves me enough that he saved me, and praise God, he's going to bring me up out of that grave for an eternity to live with him. I've watched major league football teams and college championships, and you know what usually happens? They get a special call from the president. And you know, they think, they got to believe that that's pretty awesome. I mean, how many people some presidents we don't want phone calls to, but how many people are actually going to get a phone call from the president? I watched the NFL draft, and the player of the team, it's their pick. And they'll be sitting there, and the phone call, before they pick them, they'll make a phone call, and it's usually the coach. And he wants to make sure that they're ready to come. And it's all different. Some of them get up and shout. Others has got family there jumping around. But you know what? That's their special call. Nobody else will ever get that call. And today, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you maybe to confess your sins. Maybe he's calling to take a burden off your life. But one way or another, God is calling you. First off, as our piano player and our song director comes this morning, let me ask you this. Is he calling you to salvation? Is he calling you to give your life of sin over to him and he'll give to you eternal life? Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and have dinner with him, and he with me. As the victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne." Hallelujah. You know what today? Jesus is calling. And the Bible says this, though. He will not always call that there'll come a day and a time where we pass over. And you know what? You won't even care then. You won't even think about it. Matter of fact, you might even think you're saved. But is the Lord Jesus calling you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Could it be that you're here and you're saved this morning, but you're carrying around a burden, and you've been carrying around that burden? Anger, resentment, brokenness. And that burden is consuming your thoughts all the time. It's beating you down. It's robbing you of your joy. Or maybe it's just weighing you down and you don't know how much longer you're going to be able to bear that burden. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow you, the righteous, to be shaken. Maybe you're here this morning and again, you're saved. And you once had a fresh and exciting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the issues of life, selfishness, and just plain out bad choices, you feel distance from Him today. Matter of fact, you felt distance from Him for a long time. So much so that you even question your salvation. John 10:27, verse 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He's calling today. He wants a restored relationship. It says over in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Jesus came so that sin would not stand in the way of our relationship. Amen? But you know what we do? We feel guilty of the sin and we won't bring it to Him. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie of the flesh. And today there is a fresh and vibrant relationship that He's ready to engage with you. But He's calling. Will you come? Will you admit that you're distanced from me? Will you admit that you've got that burden on your back? Will you admit that you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or maybe you're here today and you've never really thought much of being a church member or what it means to have a spiritual gift and to work in the church. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the One who called you out of darkness into His marvelous life. Hey, sometimes we may not like the purpose and the plan and the call that Jesus has on our life. But the Bible says that His gifts and His callings are irrevocable. Can't nobody take it away from you. So why, whatever the call is today, will you answer that call? Praise God. He is the resurrection and the life. But we don't have to wait on fulfilling that and seeing that when we die. We can know Him. What did He say? I've come that you might have life and that overflowing. So today I'm going to ask you to stand. And whatever your need is, I'll be willing to talk to you. I'll go through Scripture with you if you need to be saved. But I think a lot just needs to answer the call to the altar. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll continue to breathe through this place. God, I pray that our hearts and minds will be turned over to You. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Won't you come? Will you answer the call? Are you listening for the call? Thank y'all, ladies. Appreciate you being attentive and listening this morning, and I pray that God bless you through this day, and I hope to see you tonight. Tonight we'll be finishing out the other half of the Apostles' Creed. as we look at the biblical truth behind the profession in the Apostles' Creed. So do we have any announcements or words of praise before we close out this morning? Amen. Brother Kent, would you come up here and lead us in a word of prayer? Close us out this morning.
Good to have you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for letting us come here and listen to your word, Lord. Please be with us, Lord, and let's go out and help people out. A lot of people need our help, Lord. Please. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for the good message that the push you gave, Lord. Thanks for everything you've done. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.